Parshas Pinchas, of course, describes the laws of inheritance, and in particular, the laws of inheriting Eretz Yisrael, and that first entry into the land of Israel, the distribution. And there are conflicting and clashing phrases about who the land was allocated to. And of course, this conflict, or this clash, is built into the tragedy of the failure of the first generation to enter Eretz Yisrael, because they were the people who were promised this land. They were the people who suffered on behalf of this land. Remember, entry into Eretz Yisrael is conditioned upon interacting and engaging in the terms of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the covenant of Jewish history, which demanded a 400-year exile. Of course, it was truncated, but certainly the Egyptian generation, the Jews who left Egypt, were the people who had endured all of that suffering and hardship and had endured the full weight of Jewish history. And they should have been the beneficiaries and the recipients of the land of Eretz Yisrael, but their repeated failures, in particular the Egel and the Meraglim, doomed them to expiring in the desert and ceding this rite of passage into Eretz Yisrael to the next generation. So the Torah, on the one hand, describes these people perched on the cusp of entering Eretz Yisrael as Leila Techalek Eretz. These people, this new generation, without the baggage of previous sins. But a few psukim later, the Torah acknowledges and recognizes that the land should be divided through a goral process. Lishmos matos avosam yinchalu. They should be inherited by the fathers, the previous generation. So the Gemara in Bava Basra cites an interesting machlokas. There are actually three different shittos, but the two primary shittos is a machlokas between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yoshia, the Gemara says in Bava Basra Kuf Yud Zayin, believes that the land was actually distributed li yotzei Mitzrayim, that even though they were dead, the land was allocated to each member equally who left Mitzrayim, and then the land would then filter secondarily to their children. So in theory, if two brothers, let's say Reuven and Shimon, each left Mitzrayim, and Reuven had 10 children and Shimon had one child, Reuven and Shimon would get an equal portion, and then Reuven's 10 children would have to divide up that portion the same size of Shimon's one child. So the land was actually directly delivered to the Yotzei Mitzrayim based on the pasuk Lishmos Matos Avosam Yinchalu. Rabbi Yonasan says that the land was given primarily to the Boi Haaretz, Leboi Haaretz Nischalka, but somehow, once the land was given to them, based on their enumeration, based on their volume of people entering the land, so in theory, Reuven's 10 sons would each get an equal share, and Shimon's one son entering Eretz Israel would get his share. But at that point, all these shares would revert back to their parents, Reuven and Shimon, who would then divide it equally, and then pass on to their children, and it would seem to mimic the strategy of Rabbi Yonasan, of Rabbi Yoshia, but there are some significant differences which the Rishonim, the commentators to the Gemara, try to hammer out. But in describing this very strange reversion of Nachala, Rabbi Yonasan describes as follows: Mishuna Nachala Zu Mikol Nachalos Shebaolam. This process of inheritance is discrepant and different from all other inheritance processes. Shekol Nachalos Shebaolam Chayin Yorshim Mesim. Typically, the living inherit the dead. Vikan Mesim Yorshim Chayim. And in this instance, the dead, namely those who departed Mitzrayim, they inherit from the living. Namely, the people who are living and enter the land receive their portions, but the portions revert back to the previous generations, those who had died, those who had left Mitzrayim and had died in the desert, and they inherit it from their dead, from their living children, and then they pass it on, as normal Yerusha would, to the children. So there's a cycling. First, the children who are living receive their portion. It reverts back and gets redistributed to the previous generation. And then it cascades and trickles down to the living generation because the previous generation is no longer living to possess it. So this is an interesting form of Yerusha. Again, it's based on this clash between Laila Techalek Haaretz, which directs the Yerusha to the living, and Lishmos Matos Avosam Tinchalu, which suggests there's a role for the generation who left Egypt. Of course, it captures this historical nature of the land of Israel. But what's interesting is the phraseology of Rabbi Yonasan. Mishuna Nachalazu Mikol Nachalos. This is a strange inheritance process. And what renders it strange is that the dead inherit the living rather than the living inheriting the dead. Namely, it was not enough for Rabbi Yonasan to describe the reversion process, that the living seized or acquired their land and passed it back to their parents, had it recalculated, and then passed back down to them. He actually talked about an inheriting, that the dead inherit the living, as opposed to the classic living inheriting the dead. And it reminds us, and Reb Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev really articulated this in his Kedushas Levi, that of two things. Number one, that without entering Eretz Yisrael, life is incomplete, and life should be incomplete. And as much as we make peace with our surroundings, and we don't flee or escape from our surroundings if it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have to sense that hole, that deficiency. Without sensing that deficiency, our identity is marred. Our Jewish identity is flawed. So that even though someone dies, if their children inherit Eretz Yisrael and their experience plays a role in that inheritance and facilitates that inheritance, then they're receiving something. They're receiving part of their fulfillment and their completion. They're literally inheriting. This isn't just about land reversal and land redistribution. It's about fate and identity. And part of the identity of a dead person is being completed by the fact that their children return or walk into Eretz Yisrael. And of course reminds us that when people walk into Eretz Yisrael, they're not just walking in a vacuum. They're walking in as a completion and as a fulfillment and as a outcome and a consequence of people's sacrifice and people's dedication throughout history. So their experience in the land of Israel is not just an experience in the present, an experience which completes and is in the wake, in the aftermath of previous generations, their dedication, their perseverance, and their expectations. So it's really a very powerful, it's a simple statement. It's a statement which I think many of us sense when living in Israel, that we're delegates of earlier generations. But what makes it so powerful is we're not just delegates, and we have that sense that our return was paved and enabled by the heroism of others in the previous generations, but the notion that our lives actually deliver to those people who are now dead and now no longer are inhabiting this earth, but still very much alive in other realms, and we're completing their trajectory, and we're delivering to them something that they couldn't achieve. Just like classic inheritance, a departing parent delivers to a child funds that the parent gathered. The child, obviously, in their life could not yet gather, they're not old enough, and they deliver something unique to their child. In this case, a child delivers, or a generation delivers something to a previous generation, which that generation couldn't achieve.